Well, morning, folks. It's good to be with you here in the auditorium, and if you're watching up in the gallery, and if you're listening online, we're looking in Scripture this morning, as you heard with the help of some of our young folk. We're starting in Genesis chapter 16. Can we wake up my screen somehow? So if you've got a Bible and you want to look it up, Genesis 16, that's where we're starting. This is one of three different chapters that you already know that we're looking at today. We're starting a new series this week called The Liberated Christian. We're going to look at what it means to be free in Christ. Does that mean I can do what I want? Can I do what I want so long as it somehow meets the love test? Whatever I do and say, does it express God's love? And if it does, then is it okay? What are my responsibilities in Christ? Do my freedoms and my responsibilities ever clash? And what do I do if they do? Today's little bit of all of that is called Life is What You Make It. I want to start with what the Bible might call the law of responsibility or the law of accountability. As you've gathered from our little scenario earlier, we can probably reduce our responses to life and the way we react to opportunities and difficulties and problems to three kinds. There are three types of people, if you like. Everybody usually fits into one of those categories most of their life. And sometimes we can go back and forth between those categories. But mostly they describe how we respond to problems and how we respond to responsibilities and how we respond to opportunities. And we're going to use those three passages of Scripture to point out those three types of people. So this morning we're doing a bit of profiling. Some Bible profiling. And as we do that, have you ever watched some of those profiling shows on TV? You know, those detective shows or those crime shows or those police shows that have a profiler. You know, somebody working out what a certain type of person can be expected to do in a particular sort of situation. So we're doing a bit of Bible profiling. And as we do that, I can do a little bit of self-examination and find out where am I, what type of person am I, and I want to encourage you to do that this morning too. So as we prepare to do all that, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, for the stories that we read there about people and how they respond to life and its situations. So Lord, we're going to look at three stories this morning. We'll make some observations, we'll make some generalizations, but we pray in doing that, you'll actually help us to understand a little bit more about ourselves. And we pray that you will lead us to be people who respond to life and its difficulties and its opportunities in the way that you want us to, rather than the way sometimes we would prefer to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're starting in Genesis 16 with what we've learned is the accuser. There's a certain group of people who are the accusers in life. These are the people who always blame other people for their problems. They accuse other people. They say, you shouldn't have done. They're the self-proclaimed victims of the world, if you like. Everybody's against me. All my misery is caused by other people. Their favorite phrase is, it's all your fault. Genesis 16 gives us this example of Sarai, whose name was later changed to Sarah. She was Abram's wife. Sarai means bitter. Isn't that interesting? Sarai means bitter, and she was a very bitter person. So we heard it read, but let's look at it again. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. There's a novel idea. And Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. After Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar, gave her to her husband to be his wife. Abraham slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, Abram, You're responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now she knows she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. That's almost comical, isn't it? You see what happened? Sarai comes up with an idea. She says, I can't bear you a child. So you take my servant, you have sex with her, you let her be your wife, then Hagar gets pregnant. And Sarai comes back and says, now it's all your fault. You're responsible for the suffering I'm feeling. She's blaming. She's an accuser. Ever met anybody like that? They don't want to take responsibility for their own problems. It's always somebody else's fault. Of course, accusing is as old as Adam and Eve. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed. We call it passing the buck, dodging a responsibility, shifting the blame. We want to eliminate all personal responsibility by accusing someone else for our problems. Someone said, if it was a game, politicians would always win. Sounds a bit unfair, doesn't it? But you know what that's like. In an election year, we become experts at it. Who's to blame for the deficit? Who's to blame for unemployment? Who's to blame for refugees? Who's to blame for the international crises? Perhaps it's just me, but it feels like as a society, we're moving away from that idea of personal responsibility, and almost as a society, we've become accusers and blamers. It's not my fault. I've watched too many violent TV programs, so it's really all the network's fault. Back in the 1990s, I think, a guy called Dan White killed the mayor of San Francisco. He used what became known as the Twinkie defense. The Twinkie defense said, and he got off a life sentence for this, because they said he'd eaten too much junk food, and that put too much sugar in his body and made him sick, therefore he killed a man. It's now known as the Twinkie defense. There are the accusers in life. They blame everybody else. Who do we blame for our unhappiness? Who do we blame for our misery? Some people blame their past. Some people blame their parents. Some people blame their spouse. It's all your fault, honey. If you just shape up, then I could be happy. Some people blame the kids if they just left home. Some people blame the boss. Some people blame the prime minister. Some people blame the devil. Some people blame God. God, why are you doing this to me? So profile one is the accuser, just like Sarai. You're responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. And folks, as long as I persist in blaming other people for my problems, I'm going to be a victim in life and I'm going to be miserable. The second character we looked at, Jesus talked about a second type of person in Luke 14, tells us there are not only the accusers in life but also the excusers. There are the people who have an excuse for everything. They can justify any mistake, any lack of responsibility. They can rationalize any failure. They're always making excuses. The favorite phrase of an excuser is, that's just the way I am. I've always been that way. And it's the ultimate cop-out if we don't want to change and we don't want to grow. So Jesus talking about this kind of person in Luke 14, verse 16, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and he'd invited many guests. At the time of that banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited to come, for everything is now ready. But they all began to make excuses. The first one said, just bought a field and got to go see it. Please excuse me. It's a great excuse. You've been invited to a party, but you've got a piece of land and say, well, look, I've got to go and look at it. Guess that could have waited. The land wasn't going to do anything. Another one said, look, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another one said, I just got married, so I can't come. Well, maybe the last one sounds a bit reasonable, doesn't it? I just got married, I can't come. Anyway, Jesus is talking here about a second type of person, really. The first is the accuser. It's always somebody else's fault for all of their problems. The second type of person doesn't blame others, but they always have an excuse. They're an excuser. Benjamin Franklin said, people who are usually good at making excuses are seldom good for anything else. George Washington Carver said, 99% of all failures are caused by those who make excuses. They spend their time making excuses so they don't have the energy and the creativity to actually do something right. If you ever need an excuse, see me. I think I've heard just about every one of them in 20 years of ministry that's possible to come up with. So if you need one, just come. I can give you a few. And it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, the work of three of the most influential men in the last couple of hundred years has created lots of excuses for people. I'm kind of oversimplifying, but you'll get the idea. Darwin's work has led people to say, don't feel bad about it. Don't accept personal responsibility. You're just a product of how you came into existence. Blame evolution. Marx came along and people said, no, you're just a victim of your circumstances. You're a victim of economics. Freud came along and people said, you're a victim of your conditioning. Blame the environment. Their work provided people with reasons they couldn't or wouldn't accept responsibility. The fact is we're influenced by a lot of factors. But the more we shrink from personal responsibility, the smaller we become as a person, I think. An unhealthy person moves away from accepting responsibility for their own life. We all know the flip side. We all know stories of people who've accepted responsibility for their lives despite incredible obstacles. I just picked one that you wouldn't be likely to know. Jeff Blatnick in 1984 won the Olympic gold medal for Greco-Roman wrestling. A gold America had never won. Just 2 years before his victory, this man who won the gold had Hodgkin's disease. He was dying of cancer in the hospital having surgery. 2 years later, he wins the gold medal in wrestling. Champions refuse to be controlled by circumstances. Winners never make excuses for their lives. They're not manipulated by creation or genes or circumstances or conditions. The world's full of examples of people who overcome bad circumstances and made something of themselves because they refused to be accusers or excusers. In the end, the greatest limitation on our ability is our attitude. A Romanian gymnastics coach, remember they were famous for producing a whole run of particularly women's gymnastic winners in the Olympics. And one of their great coaches was asked on TV, how can you tell a champion? How can you tell a champion? And he said, I don't look at muscles. He says, I look at their eyes. Their eyes tell me what's inside. It's their attitude. I can always develop muscles, he said, but if the attitude isn't there, they're not a champion. And interesting. So the third choice we have is the chooser. Hebrews 11. Nobody profiles the issue of personal responsibility perhaps better than Moses. In Hebrews 11, we've got kind of God's hall of fame. So the third type of person in life, there are the accusers who blame everybody else. There are the excusers. They always have a justification for everything. And there are the choosers. There are people who make choices in life that set the direction for their lives. They accept responsibility for both success and failure. They accept responsibility for their sin. And they accept responsibility for their spiritual growth. They accept responsibility for their life. They realize they're accountable to God and they are choosers. They don't live life by circumstance or chance, but by their choices in life. They know we can't control everything, but we can control how we're going to respond. So they're the choosers in life. Moses is the perfect example. He settled this issue of personal responsibility. So in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, we have this little story. By faith, Moses' parents hid him when he was 3 months because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, when Moses had grown up, he refused, notice that refused, to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and persevered because he saw him who's invisible. Maybe you know the story. Moses is second in command in the greatest nation in the world at that time. He is ruling the world, Egypt. All of the wealth, all of the power, all of the status that was centered in Pharaoh's throne, and Moses was second in command. Yet he knew he was an Israeli. And it says he made a choice based on personal responsibility to leave Pharaoh's kingdom, to leave the fame, the glory, the wealth, the pleasure, the power, to lead 500,000 Jews who'd been slaves across the desert to a place they hadn't been in 400 years. That's a mark of personal accountability and responsibility. I'm sure people came to Moses and said, "Look, Moses, I know the slave situation isn't that good, but why don't you stay in the system and press for social reform, work within the system?" But it says Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, even though he could have, and he chose to be mistreated. Moses was a chooser. In verse 24, we see Moses refusing, and in verse 25, we see Moses choosing. He replaces the negative with a positive. It's not just a rejection, but an acceptance of God's purpose for his life. Verse 23 says, When Moses was a baby, God chose him, because it says by faith his parents hid him. Moses didn't have any responsibility there. Verse 23 says God chose Moses, but in verse 24, Moses has to choose God. He accepted responsibility for his life by faith, Moses, when he had grown up. Friends, our ability to accept responsibility in one sense is the mark of our spiritual maturity. An immature person can't accept responsibility. A mature Christian does. They accept responsibility for their own lives. Some people never grow up. That they live their lives accusing. They live their lives excusing. They run from personal responsibility. "It's not my fault. I can't help it." The greatest freedom that God has given you and given me is the freedom of choice. And because of that, our lives are what we make them. When we were born, we didn't choose what hand we were going to be given, but we can choose now how we play that hand. A lot of people fold. They don't even want to play. Other people say, "This is what I've got. I've got this talent, but I don't have that talent, so here's what I can do." That's my choice. That's our responsibility. I can't remember who said, "What you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God." Let me say it again. "What you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God." That's personal responsibility. I said earlier that sometimes people even try to use God as their excuse. They don't do anything in their life, and then they say, "It must have been God's will." Story's told about a man who was in a flood. He climbed to the top of his house. The waters are rising. A boat came by and they said, "Jump in." And he said, "No, it's okay. I'm trusting God." Another boat came by. "Come on, we'll save you." And he said, I'm practicing faith. I have faith." Helicopter came by, dropped a ladder down. "We'll save you." He said, no, I have faith in God." A couple of hours later, the waters rose. He fell off the roof and drowned. He goes to heaven and says, "God, I'm mad. I'm angry. I had faith and you didn't help me." And God said, "What do you want? I sent two boats and a helicopter." I mean, it's a corny joke, but you kind of get the idea. Sometimes we use the sovereignty of God as our excuse. It must not be God's will. Folks, the fact of the matter is God has given us the freedom to choose. It's our responsibility to exercise the choice. The Bible calls it stewardship. Stewardship isn't necessarily money. Stewardship is the fact that God put every person on the earth to be the manager of the resources and the time that they have and be responsible for it. Romans 14 verse 12 says about the principle of responsibility, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Each of us will give an account of himself, herself, to God. God's given us the freedom to do whatever we want to do with our life, but he holds us accountable for the results of it. Freedom is both a privilege and a responsibility. What am I going to be accountable for? For everything? No. No. Because we can't control everything. We're only accountable for what we have control over. The Bible says we're responsible for our time. Ephesians 5 says, make the most of every opportunity. The Bible says we're accountable for our words, how I use my tongue. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:6, you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. We're responsible, in one sense, for our health. There are some things out of our control, but we're responsible for taking care of our bodies. The Bible says we're accountable for how we use our resources, our finances. To whom much is given, much is required, Scripture says. We're responsible for our attitude towards problems. I can't control all the things that happen to me, but I can control my response. When you and I face a problem, we can find an excuse, we can find a scapegoat, or we can find a solution. Those are our options, and it's our choice. Viktor Frankl, who was interred in the prison camps in Nazi Germany, said, they took away everything, clothes, family, even his wedding ring. But he said he remembered standing naked one day before the Nazi Gestapo, the prison officials there in Auschwitz. He said he remembered thinking, they can take away everything in my life, but the one thing they can't take away from me is my choice in how I will respond. It's the one thing they cannot take. And he said, that's freedom. Freedom isn't having everything go my way. Freedom isn't having all the things that I think I want. Freedom is being able to choose what my attitude is going to be toward everything that happens in life. And we're accountable for that. Most of all, we're accountable for our relationship with God. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose it. Said it way back then, but it's the same every day. Choose this day whom you will serve. Folks, our commitment is a choice. You and I are as close to God as we choose to be. It's a matter of our personal responsibility. Some of you might be saying now, look, I really feel in a rut like now. I can't get out. Truth be told, we'll be in the ruts of life whenever we're making accusations and whenever we're making excuses. We'll be in the ruts of life until we accept our responsibilities and ask God to help us. So let's do that. Please bow your heads as we pray. I want you to consider how this relates to your life this morning. Do you feel you're a bit like one of the characters we've looked at, Sarai, who said, you're responsible for all the suffering I'm experiencing? Do you sometimes make yourself a victim? Do you have a tendency to blame other people, your past, your parents, your spouse, your kids, God? An accuser? Maybe sometimes you feel like you're an excuser. Always have an excuse, like Jesus talked about in the parable. Always a reason for really not becoming the kind of person God wants you to be, settling for settled second best, excusing. Or do you see in yourself something of Moses, who was a chooser? He made choices in life. He realized he was accountable to God for his life. Freedom in Christ as the master of your life allows you and gives you the power to make the choices that are right for you. So would you say, I'm going to take responsibility for my own happiness. I can't choose all the situations I incur, and I can't choose my background or my IQ, but I can choose what I do with the cards I was dealt, the abilities I was given. So in your heart, you just quietly pray a prayer and ask God to help you have that sense of responsibility. Ask him to give you the power to choose to do what's right in whatever situation is going through your mind right now. Maybe you'd say something like, Lord, I'm not going to blame anybody else or make any excuses for my own spiritual life. I'm going to realize it's my own choice and I can grow as close to you as I want to be. Maybe some of you would want to make a new commitment. Lord, I'm not going to be an excuser, but I choose to grow as a Christian. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Would you do that? Lord, thank you for these examples out of your word that help us to see the importance of responsibility, that one day we'll give account to you. And the very fact that we're accountable means that you give us the freedom to make the choices. We couldn't be held accountable for something where we didn't have the power to choose. So, Lord, hear our prayer. Help us to be responsible Christians. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.